truth and tons, and it comes at it from areas of grace. James just kind of spits it out there and says, in real life, this is what's important. Doing what the Word of God says is important. Amen. Not just being hearers of the Word, but being doers of the Word. And guys, I got to tell you, I come before you today, and I've struggled last night, I've struggled this morning, personal situation with one of my children that I handled poorly. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but I've been feeling condemned all night, well, for part of the night till I prayed, and then I woke up, and the same discouragement was hitting me, and I prayed, and as I'm praying, I'm coming to this place. I keep coming to where, back to the truth of God, of who I am in Christ. But even, I just have to share this, because right before I came up, it was like once again, the enemy came and was putting doubt and indecision in my heart. And that is not of the Lord. So I just need to pray one more time real quick here. Father, I just pray that you would take this. Lord, take this lie from the enemy. Lord, thank you that you are God, that I stand here not in my strength, not in my self-righteousness, Lord, but I stand here by your righteousness. So, Father, I just pray that as I release this, you would take all of it. And, Lord, that I would be free to speak truth of your word, not hindered by my own self discouragement, disappointment, but Lord, that you would minister to us through your word today, right now, Lord. Thank you for the gift of it, Lord. Thank you that it's the truth that sets us free. We pray for freedom right now, Lord, by the power and truth and work of your work on the cross. Your death, your burial, your resurrection, Lord, we claim your power and your truth this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother. Whew. Sometimes it's a challenge to stand up here before you guys. I gotta be honest with you. As we come to the scripture today, I titled it Reversal of Fortunes. And one of the reasons that I did that is so often we have a way of looking at life from man's view. And everything we see is from this perspective right here. God has a very different perspective. And he has a different way of what he values, what he sees, and how he works with his people. So Let's jump into it. And as we come to verse 9, remember, we've been dealing with what in the past? We've been dealing with trials and temptations. And when you're going through these things, one of the things that can happen, one of the things that can really hit us hard with trials and temptations is we can feel like we don't have a way through the storm. We can get caught and we can just... And last week we looked at praying for wisdom. Praying for wisdom. And when we pray, to pray with hearts and minds that are trusting God, not double-minded minds and hearts. But we can come knowing. And boy, I tell you, it's interesting when you pray about things, God always gives you the opportunity to live out what you're preaching. So I've been there. And when you're having troubles and troubles and trials and seeing God's love in the midst of the trial and temptation, pray and ask for wisdom. And ask knowing that God gives according to his word. And this is from his word. And the best remedy against that double-mindedness is the scripture that we're going into this week. Verse 9, it says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Talk about a reversal of fortunes. What is it saying? It's saying, believers, we can take pride in what Jesus Christ has done and is doing in our lives. And his high position in our life and who we are in him. Regardless of where we are financially, regardless of all the things that man says, this is what matters. We can come before God in unbelievable riches in Christ Jesus. As every other rich kind of riches that there's out there can be taken away. Only eternal riches last. Only the eternal relationship with God and relationship with people. What else has eternity written on it? I just I heard Denzel Washington was giving a graduation speech, and he was saying that put your faith in God. And he said something he said I thought was good. He says you can't take a U-Haul with you to heaven. Never, that's it. You'll never see a hearse hauling a U-Haul. Isn't that great? I thought, absolutely. And then he said one more thing. It was basically something like, it's not about what you have here. It's about what you do with what you have been given, and what you have, and the blessing that you have, what you do with that. That's what matters. And I love it when people who are known by many give wisdom that is biblical. Give wisdom that is the truth of the word. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. Guys, the first group that it talks about is believers. And so there's no question mark of whether the believers, regardless of where we stand financially, whether we're rich or poor, we come to Christ wealthy. We are not victims. We are not people who don't have any power. We have the greatest power ever. Amen. God of all creation is the one who gives us the ability to move forward in his strength and in his truth and in his love. And then it goes on to say, but the rich. And so as I read through this, I read through a number of my favorite guys in commentaries on this, and after I'd studied it myself for a while, and everybody has a different opinion on this. And that is, do the rich mean the rich who are believers, the rich who are not believers? And my final conclusion is, it really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter, because it applies to both. Which is, but the rich should take pride in their low position, their humiliation. Not take pride in what they have or what they've accomplished. In faith, we shouldn't say, look at what I've done. Our works are not what we hold on to. Jesus Christ is what we hold on to. And outside of faith, there is nothing that I accomplish that I come and I say before God when I go and meet him, you know what? This is why I deserve the ticket in. Look at what I accomplished. Guys, it's only by faith in Christ Jesus and holding on to what he's done and being in his strength and purpose that we can move forward and not fear that day of being before the Lord. It says, but the rich should take pride in their emotions since they will pass away like a wild flower. And then it defines that a little bit more. For the sun rises with scorching heat. Now, let me ask you this. The sunrise, I thought about this. The sun rises, does it rise with scorching heat or does it hit its peak with scorching heat? It's always hot, but it gets hotter as the day. What this is referring to is the same kind of heat that's talked about in the book of Jonah. It's the same word that's used there. As there's a heat that's a special heat that comes with the eastern, sometimes the southern wind. And it's this eastern heat that comes in and it's the heat that hit Jonah. And you remember Jonah was told, go and bring the gospel to these people in Nineveh, and he didn't want to go, and he goes the other way, and he becomes lunch, you know, and then he gets spit out, and he finally begrudgingly goes and does what he's been called to do, and he's upset that he had to do it, and then worst of all, the people respond to God, and they repent, so he's truly humiliated and annoyed, And he's sitting up there on the hill, and it says that eastern morning heat hit him. And he cried out and wished he was dead. He was so hot and miserable. He was suffering so much. You know, I can relate. Sometimes we suffer like that, don't we? We suffer not because of what the real situation is. We suffer because of how we've responded to the situation. We suffer because we've come to that situation and we've said, it's all about me and I'm not getting my way. Oh, how I suffer. And here's the thing about suffering. It can be, in reality, very small or huge. And it can have the same effect on a person. Some people get a hangnail and their whole day is gone. Oh, God, or a paper cut. And, oh. This week, Fenton and I played a little hoops, and I was humbled quite well. And one of the things that I went up to do was try and dunk the basketball. And I was, because on one side of the, we played on this lopsided court, so I thought this side gives me a few inches, so I can make the most of that. And I failed, and I instead just hurt my hand. I got a little owie, and I was like, oh yeah. And then you. And every time you get this, then you think, oh, man, I missed the time. Oh, I'm getting old. Oh, I'm a... That's right. That's right. But we can tend to take small things, can't we, and build them and build them and build them. For the sun rises in with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. As I know, so often we tend to look at those who are successful in this world, and so much of the time we have a little bit of envy, a little bit of, especially when we know if they've gotten some of that through dealings that are not honest, or even maybe honest but not kind. Maybe even legal, but not looking out for the people that got them there. Not looking out for the people that are a part of the business. And, you know, we live in a world right now that this is happening in triplicate all over the country. People so angry of those who have and I don't. And guys, it's an awful place to get stuck. Needing and wanting and needing and wanting what others have. Because if success of this world is where your heart is, it doesn't matter if you're poor or rich, you're going to be empty. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference where you are. Because the word that will constantly be your God is more. Whether you're rich or poor, your God will be more. More. I need more. How much do you need? More. Mm-hmm. But guys, the more fades away. It will be gone. It's a blink. And so we need to be thinking about how do I use what I have now for the Lord? I'm not talking just about finances. I'm talking about gifting. I'm talking about what we have as believers. We have a God who is mighty and powerful and wanting to do amazing things through us. And so often we settle for church activity rather than the power of Jesus Christ transforming lives. And we need, I think we need to humble ourselves before God. And we need to see life from a biblical, a godly, Jesus perspective and value what he values, and regardless of our own personal circumstances. The world's going to pass away. And guys, that's the hook, isn't it? The enemy is just fishing with that hook of, here it is. And he baits the hook, and he's just waiting for the people to come by and say, I want success. I want the things of this world. And when you get hooked, it's hard to get off the hook. But when you're let off through the power of Christ, you don't have to go back on that hook again. Philippians 3:18, the second part of 18 and 19 says, and I don't have this on the overhead, I just want you to hear this. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. As my prayer is that that is not a part of our lives. That the things of this world will truly become strangely dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and we will start to value more and more the things that are eternal. Verse 12 of James 1 says this, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Guys, the idea of receiving God's favor, but I like what Jim shared with me is it also means the right path for the road of life. Blessed, right, being on the right path on life's road. So that's what it's, you're blessed in the path that you're on. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Guys, when you persevere under trial, you're on the right path. Because the enemy says it's unfair. You should give up, or you should complain. But blessed, and having stood the test, that person will receive the crown. You know, when athletes and when those in the military were successful, they would receive this crown. And it would be of leaves and there's a whole idea here of receiving the crown, but it's not the crown of salvation. This is not talking about the crown of salvation. This is talking about the crown of what we do. And here's where James comes in and says it from a different angle than other books tend to focus on. What we do matters. How we live matters. And we get to come and honor God and bring glory to his name. And the things that we do, it's not earning salvation at all, but it's honoring God. When we honor God, we bring glory to who he is. We raise him up and we decrease. He increases. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. As I was thinking about this, one of the things that came to my mind was, what had happened with Adam and Eve? And Satan brings the temptation. And the temptation is not a piece of fruit that looks nice and yummy. The temptation is, you get to be the one who chooses what's right and wrong in your life. You should be the one who plays God. You should be the one who decides what's good and what's wrong. Who does God think he is? Telling you what's right and what's wrong. You're more than capable. He's keeping something from you. He wants you to have second best. He wants to be worshipped. You deserve to be worshipped. It's about you. And Adam sins. He says, I want to be the one to decide what's right and wrong in my life. And God comes strolling back, and Adam and Eve, who had been so at home in the presence of God, in right relationship with him before sin, now what are they doing? They're hiding. They have even covered themselves with leaves. So they're embarrassed from each other, and they're hiding from God. And what does Adam say as soon as God confronts him? It's Eve's fault. This woman, and by the way, that you gave me. I mean, seriously, let's be real here. I was, remember, you and me, we were in the garden or out in the wilderness, right? We're living large. We have this whole garden. We have this woman. We have, God, you know, you're really the one to blame. Because if she's the one to blame, she was his idea. So it's really, God, you're to blame. God, you're to blame. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God will not give in to temptation. Now, was Jesus tempted by Satan? Absolutely. But I know that I have given in to temptation. Last night, trying to do things in my own strength, my own way, I gave in to that temptation to do it my way. Right? And man, doesn't go well when you do that. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Guys, what happens if we start blaming God for our situation? It goes bad quick, doesn't it? Because now the very one who's the answer is the one we're blaming. The only one who has the power to get through what I'm going through in a way that honors God and honors the people around me. Now I'm taking it out of God's hands and I'm putting it in mine and saying, I trust me more than God. And if we trust ourselves more than God, we are going to experience a lot of pain. And with my sin comes the consequences to the people around me. Because our sin never affects just us, does it? When I sin, it affects the people. There's consequences for me. There's consequences for the people around me. Adam blames Eve. Who does Eve blame? Serpent. It's kind of in all of us, isn't it? It's not my fault. It's not my fault. That's in all of us, guys. Wanting to be justified. Wanting to be right. Wanting to be more right than you, whoever the you is. Proverbs 9:12 says, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. We can't mock God. We can't look at this power, this love, this relationship, and say, you know what? I've got the answer. I don't want yours. We can't mock him. We can't stand on our own wisdom and strength. Verse 14, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Guys, this is what I hear so much of the time. And this is a piece of it, but this is not reality. The devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do anything. The devil tempted you to do it. The devil gave you the opportunity to do things in your own strength. But the devil didn't make you. If you're in Christ Jesus, now, there's a lot more weight to that if you're not in Christ Jesus. But if you're in Christ Jesus, the devil didn't make you. The devil put it in front of you and said, this is a better option than God's plan. He put the temptation there. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away, I like that, by their own evil desire and enticed. The method of sin, first it draws us away and then it entices us. It separates us from the herd of truth and then entices us with a lie. Man. Holiness consists of two parts, forsaking that which is evil and clinging to that which is good. And there's two parts to this whole method of sin, dragging us away and enticing us. Man. Verse 15, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Listen to the wording that's used there. Conceived and giving birth. You know, in that whole process of conceiving and giving birth, it's not just something that happens. There's choices made. There's a whole system in that process, isn't there? There's a thought process, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And after desire has, so we've been dragged away, and our that evil desire, it's been enticed. And then after that desire has conceived and it gives birth. It's gone through that whole process. We've chewed on it, we've thought it, we've dealt with it, and we're choosing what's wrong. Gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Guys, sin gives birth to what? Anybody bothered by the whole idea of death? Because if you're bothered by death, then experience life in Christ Jesus. I got to have lunch with my father and his brother and this week. And all we did was talk about God, the church. It's amazing. Neither of them know Jesus. I've been praying I've been praying hard. I've been asking for other people to pray. Some of you knew about this before and have been praying. Some of you have been praying for my father because I feel like there's a new openness to talking about God's word, to talking about salvation. Had an amazing time talking with two men who in the past have been so openly angry and vicious towards God and are talking as they're older and they're processing things in a new light. They're asking questions. They're wondering. One of the things that really hit me was the same thing I've heard over and over and over from person after person after person that has shared with me. My friends and family who don't know Jesus. That is a fear of death. There is a fear of death when you don't know Jesus. And guys, that fear does not have to be there. And not just death, but the pains of coming to the pain, the hurt, the brokenness, the suffering. We don't have to fear suffering or even death. In Christ Jesus, there's life, there's truth, there's a way through it. Verses 16 through 18. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I love that. Don't be deceived. As the junk doesn't come from God. God isn't, you know, when I was young, I had this picture of God. And this is, I'll stand up here for this because I think it's appropriate for my wrong vision of God. My wrong vision of God was God with a stick in his hand. And he was up high. He was up here. He was like, please mess up. Please mess up. That was my picture of God for many years. This God who was desiring to bring the heat. That was my twisted picture of God. When you've grown up and you've experienced pain and you don't know Jesus personally, and you've got pictures of your own situation, your own earthly experiences, we tend to put those earthly experiences into the spiritual, don't we? We tend to think of God then, outside of faith, we tend to think of God how we see man. Please mess up. Gonna bring vengeance. Here it comes. Guys, even if that's an extreme picture for you, what's the picture that you do have? What's the picture that you struggle with of God that's wrong? Maybe from your youth, maybe from before you were a believer. Does that picture invade your present at any time? Do parts of that lie affect the truth of how you see God? What's the scripture saying? It says, don't be deceived. That's a deception. When you have a lie of the picture of God, whatever it is, whatever that lie is for you, God's word is saying, don't be deceived. My dear brothers and sisters, every good and perfect gift is from above. Have you ever gotten... let me ask you this. Have you ever gotten more than what you would hope for as a gift? For Christmas or for a birthday? Have you ever hoped for something and instead it was greater? So, the present that stands out the most to me was the right kind of basketball. I was hoping for a basketball for Christmas. I had let it be known. There was the kind of ball that I wanted, which was the red, white, and blue basketball. It was more expensive than the orange basketball. I wanted the red, white, and blue basketball. Now they're all different colors. Back then, there was a lot less options. And I had just so wanted a basketball, and I hadn't said more than that. When I came downstairs, my parents would have one gift, the main gift that year, be unwrapped and sitting out there. One year when I got a bike, it was the bike that was out. This year, it was the basketball that was out. I remember coming downstairs, and it was more than what I had hoped for. It wasn't just a basketball. It was the basketball. It was the one I wanted. I hadn't stated it out loud. And that feeling of getting more than what I wanted, more than I'd let known that I wanted, than I'd hoped for. Don't be deceived, your brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above. That's a little basketball. For a child, that meant a lot. In Christ Jesus, when we come to him, the good gifts, no matter what trial you're going through, guess what? His good and perfect gift is he's going to take everything out of that trial and use all the stuff that the enemy wants to use to absolutely crush you. And his good and perfect gift is he'll take the same stuff that the enemy was saying, watch me just mess this guy up with. And he takes that same stuff and he transforms and he changes and somehow he uses the exact same situation and he brings blessing. He brings truth. He brings light. He brings life. And it was going to break you. But in Christ Jesus, in his truth and in his love, it's what reminds you. It's what brings you back to the truth of God is awesome. Every scar in Christ Jesus doesn't remind you of the wound and the person who did it to you. In Christ Jesus, every scar is the reminder of the greatness of God. Every scar is a reminder. Every and all of a sudden, God takes and he transforms and he blesses. And now, not only does he bless it in your life, he takes this whole thing and he changes it so that the stuff that was supposed to be used by the enemy to destroy you is now the very thing that God is using to bless others through you. Where are the people in your life hurting? Share your testimony. Share what God's done in your life. Guys, I want to talk a little longer than I'd planned. I want to spend just a couple minutes doing something a little bit different here. And I just want to be honest with you. I've been thinking, as we come in prayer to God, as we are real with God, things in our lives change. God doesn't always change our situation, but he changes our hearts in the midst of it. And I was thinking, you know, at the end we have this time where we call and one or two or three or four people come up and are prayed for. But I want us to do something a little different. And if you're uncomfortable, I apologize right now. I really feel like God is leading us to say, you know what? Let's group. And I want you guys to get in groups of 8 or 9. We're just going to do it about 4 or 5 minutes. If this is not a go around the circle where everyone shares, it's not. If God is leading you to share, great. If he's not, pray for the people around you or pray for what God's putting on your heart. But I want everybody to get in clusters of just kind of the people in front and behind and just however it works out. And I want us to spend just a couple minutes praying. And whatever's on your heart, whether it's a praise or a prayer of needing to be met by God, I'm just going to ask you to share that. So go ahead and everybody kind of get in groups. I realize this is a little different. But sometimes different is good, right? Oh, we can just be right here. And guys, don't spend time in prayer requests. Let's just pray. Let your request become the prayer itself. Otherwise, we'll run out of time.